Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Extra days off because of my lovely heat-induced illness. We're back for the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so sure enough, the brand new blog did show up there. I actually think it was more like this afternoon. But anyways, there's a brand new blog up there if you want to swing over there and check it out. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan, the man with 3
Oh, and just a quick programming note. I know last Sunday I was very excited and kind of punctuating the fact that it would be our last day of doing FanDuel baseball lineups on the podcast because we're going to switch to football after that. And as it turns out, Mr. Fantasy is unable to attend this Sunday because we have 3 drafts. We have Saturday night, Sunday night, and then him and I have our Monday morning Money League draft, and he was told by his wife that if he was doing 3 drafts over the weekend, he would be unable to do the podcast. So, sadly, we will not be here Sunday for our last FanDuel lineup, but I wanted to get that out there. So, there we go.
Saturday and Sunday, not Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, I didn't realize it either until I went and looked. They're actually Saturday and Sunday. And I don't know why I schedule them like that. Normally it's Friday, Saturday. But I don't know if somehow it got in my head that we needed to do something else Friday or what it was. Or maybe I just had the dates wrong. But, yeah, it's Saturday night, Sunday night this year. So just one of those oddities. So, yeah, I'll be up late Sunday night doing that draft, and then we'll have to get up early to do the – Mr. Fantasy, I'll have to get up early to do the Money League draft. But luckily they're doing it online, so I don't have to get up and go to his office or anything, so that's a big plus. But coincidentally, talking about – wait, what, huh?
No, I was going to say the Sunday night one is actually the snake, so we should be done by 9:30.
Well, I don't know about that, but hopefully 10 o'clock would be nice. I would take that. So
we do have room,
I think we have one opening in one league, and it's 3 or 4 in the other if you're interested in signing up. SportsTimeRadio@hotmail.com. Just send us an email. We'll send you the link. We run the service through Yahoo, and it is free to play. So, you know, feel free to jump on and have some fun with us and, you know, see how.
Yep. So, according to the guy who quit, does that mean we don't have lives? Because he does.
What was so weird about that is now this guy has been in all our leagues for years now, including football. He knows the draft is always on or about Labor Day weekend because it's the last weekend before the season starts. But yet, somehow, this was the year it was a big deal. So I didn't get it. So, yeah, if he wouldn't have quit, the auction league would be full right now. But I went in and deleted his team, and then I thought for just desserts I would ban him just to be a jerk. So, because you have that option, you can delete the team or you can delete and ban. And I thought, well, what the hell, let's try this one out. So I was just like, you know, you don't want to play, don't play. That's fine. You know, we'll find somebody else. So, So we'll see. But, yeah, again, like I said, we are looking for a few teams. Not too many, but a few if you're interested in hopping in. And you know, I know we do have some newer people that I actually know, so we'll see how that one goes. But you know, I don't know. So, yeah, and anyways, you know, I was writing the blog today. I'm realizing how ill-prepared I am. This is probably the least prepared I've ever been at this point for any fantasy draft we've ever done, because I'm just, I don't know what or why or how, but I'm not looking forward to football. I just kind of like, yeah, whatever. So I was going over the quarterbacks today and just kind of some of the marginal guys, not all of them. And humorously, one of the names I brought up was Teddy Bridgewater, because it's clear he's been the best quarterback in Jets camp, and he probably should have been their starter. And the thing I said is I was going to keep my eye on it in case they traded him. So, of course, right after I posted the blog, I see the news that Teddy Bridgewater was traded to the New Orleans Saints along with a sixth-round pick in next year's draft for a third-round pick in next year's draft. So I guess I was, you know, I don't know if you look at it as a little late or a little early with that, but I just thought it was humorous that that's how that worked out. So Teddy gets to go to the Saints and be Drew Brees' brat backup for a year before I think he goes back on the free agent market because he only signed a one-year deal. So we'll see what happens with Teddy. But, yeah, it's kind of weird because, like, talking to Mr. Fantasy, he's all excited and he can't wait. And, you know, he's just, oh, yeah, you know, football, we're going to start football. Yeah, let's go. And I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know, do we have to? So but on the plus side, you're going to the Bears game tomorrow.
Yeah, not really plus side anymore. Nobody's going to be playing.
Oh, come on. I heard they said Tyler Bray is going to play the entire game. That, you know. Oh, wait, he's the third string quarterback. Never mind. Damn.
Yeah, I was thinking I shouldn't go.
Who are they playing? I didn't even bother to look.
Buffalo.
Oh, maybe you'll get to see Josh Allen play a little bit. That'll be exciting for you. I don't know what Buffalo's plans are with their starters, but I think they'd probably want Allen to play a series or so at least after, you know, especially if he's going to end up being their starter. So we'll have to see. But that'll be fun. I'm sure you'll have a good time. So, and since Dan is going to the game, that means Schomburg Stu is going to fill in tomorrow. So, but we'll start that off early because, you know, Stu has a scheduled 6 o'clock dinner reservation every night. So we have wrapped up so he can put whatever they have for dinner in the microwave. Oh, did I tell you Dan Stu got a chair?
Just for him?
Well, no, for his wife. He's got a pretty bad back issue going on, but I just thought maybe we could go to his house and ride it. But yeah, I thought that could be fun. But maybe Stu and I can talk about that tomorrow. All right. Well, since you know it is Wednesday, there are always a couple early baseball games. Cubs and the Mets not only had an early game, they had to finish the game from last night. The Cubs did win that game 2-1 in 11 innings. The Mets crushed them in the second game, though. The Mets beat them 10-3. The other two games that are final, the Astros beat the A's 5-4, and then the Royals beat the Tigers 9-2. And it looks like, not quite yet, but the Padres, it looks like they're on their way to beating the Mariners. They're up 8-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning, so those are the games that are in the book. What I was disappointed to find out is, do you know that we're not even into September yet, and this is the last time the A's and the Astros play each other?
How did that one work out?
I don't know. I heard it on the – I was watching it on the good old Roku TV while I was doing some stuff on the computer, and the guy just happened to mention it, that this will be the last meeting for these two teams, obviously barring any kind of playoff meeting. But, yeah, I was like, man, that sucks.
Yeah, it looks like the Astros wrap up their, you know, series with all of the AL West this weekend. And then they take on Minnesota, Boston, Detroit, the Diamondbacks. Well, I guess they're not wrapping up the West totally because they come home for six games against Seattle and the Angels. And then ended on the road in Toronto and then four games in Baltimore.
Yeah. Huh. And then we actually did have a little bit of player movement. You know, the teams have a couple more days to go out and, you know, acquire guys or trade guys. And it was the Braves today making all the moves. They went out and they picked up veteran catcher Rene Rivera. And then they also went out and they got your guy Lucas Duda, Dan, in from the Royals. Looks like just for cash there. So, you know, a couple veteran moves to add to the, you know, add to the Braves bench. Obviously, these guys aren't going to be starters. So, I don't know how you feel about your guy Duda making the move there.
Oh, Kansas City had to do something, right? I think it'll be nice to have a lefty coming off the bench who can play first and catch. Or he doesn't catch, right?
No, he doesn't catch. So, but yeah, you know, he'll be a nice power hitting option coming off the bench there. I mean, he did have 13 bombs with the city in the 86 games he played there, and you know, we know that even though it you know, everyone's a home run haven, it's still one of the easier places to get home run. So, and again, you're adding a left-handed bat, kind of. You know, like the Phillies went in that direction earlier when they added Justin Bourne. Sadly, he got hurt, and then they went out and added the right-handed bat. You know, they picked up Batista. So,
what did you think of that one?
I was a little surprised by it because I don't. You know, I know he's been decent this year, but I just wasn't quite sure if he was going to be a big ad. But, you know, I mean, it's not like he's going to get a lot of playing time. I mean, a couple at bats here and there, and then he'll basically be a pinch hitter. So, I guess it's okay. I mean, nothing earth-shattering, but do we expect an earth-shattering move? I mean, do you see a... I guess at this point in time, the biggest would be Josh Donaldson maybe get moved. Do you see something like that happening?
Is he still hurt?
Yeah, he's still hurt. He's actually not due to come back in September. But apparently the Blue Jays are planning on trying to get him through waiver. So they may try to move him, you know, while he's hurt.
You know, that sounds like a Theo Billy Bean move, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, it could be interesting, you know, and then you add Cardinals just put Judge Gorko on the DL. So, you know, maybe that opens things up, you know, for St. Louis to try to step in and, you know, make some kind of move there. I don't know what at this point in time, you know, Donaldson's in the last year of his contract. What do you get for him?
Cash.
Yeah, at this point, will you get the player to be named later in cash? Is that how it works out?
Mm, with the injury, I think you just get cash, especially if you're not supposed to come back till sometime, you know, within the next couple of weeks.
So, yeah, and, you know, it should be, you know, right, it should be early September is what everybody's saying. You know, it's just the prospect of, you know, are they, you know, are they correct or not? I mean, obviously it's been a, has he played this year? He played at the start of the year, right?
I believe so.
So, but yeah, I, you know, I just, yeah, at this point it's kind of like, well, you know, you make that, you know, do you make that move or, I mean, I guess if you're only giving up cash, it's not terrible, but, you know, that could be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, if it's me and I'm running a team, I'm not really looking at it or interested in picking up Josh Donaldson, unless, of course, it's for cash or, you know, a single layer that we got for somebody, you know, as a throw-in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if you could prove to me that he's healthy, he's going to come back 100%, I would be a little more interested. But, yeah, at this point, you know, you're not sure what you're getting. And then if he goes to a National League team, well, obviously that takes out the idea of him being able to engage, you know, if there's something there. And I did double check. He played 36 games this year. He hit .234 with 5 home runs. So, but, yeah, they have his return scheduled at the beginning of September. So I don't know if that's September 1st or September, no, September. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, can you think of another big name, you know, that could be going anywhere?
I was trying to find the waiver list.
You know what I mean? I know it's got to be killing everybody because, you know, the Nationals pulled Bryce Harper off a waiver, so he can't go anywhere. You know, he's a National for the end of the year. I don't know. Can Mike Trout go, Dan? Have the Angels tried to trade Mike Trout? They're not going anywhere.
What about Ohtani?
No, they haven't mentioned that. So they did mention, though, Dan, all of a sudden, magically, he's back in the Rookie of the Year race, and I wasn't quite sure how that happened. Could you explain that to me?
Did he hit a home run or steal a base?
I don't know what he did. I was watching it the other day, and they showed him flying out, of all things. So it was just kind of like, okay. And then, you know, the guy, you know, there's always the talking head who's on there with the former players. He was just kind of like, well, where do you have him? Where do you have him on your Rookie of the Year ballot if you had one? Wait, he's on somebody's Rookie of the Year ballot? When did this happen?
I mean, if he was playing in the field and on a full-time basis, you could definitely put him back in that race, but knowing that he's only DHing, I don't even know if he's on a full-time basis.
Or if he was pitching, maybe, you know, you could put him back in there as well if he was doing both.
And hit at least 20 home runs. So I think he could go back into that run for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? He's a number when, you know, you look at it. I mean, he is hitting .275. He's hit 15 home runs. But he's only played in 78 games. I mean, you know, we're going to get guys who are, you know, playing the majority of the season. And I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed with MLB.com for whatever the stats where you can divide it just rookies doesn't work for some reason now. And it's really ticking me off because it's always so much nicer to break them down that way. So, but, yeah, I don't know how he magically jumped into the conversation again. It was just like, oh, hey, yeah, here he is. He's back in. He did this and that, and now he's back in the conversation. Wait, he is? Hang on. How did this happen?
Now approaching Tinley Park over Target.
You know, and I mean, I'm, you know, maybe there's not a ton of Rookie of the Year contenders, but I still think you should probably be looking for the ones that have played the majority of the season, maybe.
Well, that's why I feel like sometimes the writers doing it is based on who they like versus who deserves them.
Yeah, you know, of course, these are the same guys who keep talking about what a contender Trout is for MVP, and I haven't figured that one out yet, you know, because, you know, again, it's, you know, it's a guy having a really good year, but, you know, he's not better than some guys on contenders who should, you know, should be up there in the voting ahead of him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it was also humorous. I got to hear the talk last night, Dan, about the fact that if J.D. Martinez does win the Triple Crown, it doesn't mean he deserves to be MVP. So, yeah, I guess just so they can give it to Mike Trout. I don't know what the reason behind that was, and I think he's leading in all three categories right now because Mookie Betts has been struggling. So Martinez passed him in, you know, average. But yeah, I guess maybe they'll talk about it. He's not playing the field. I don't, you know.
According to baseball reference, they don't have Ohtani up in the top 20.
Oh, you're starting to break up really bad. Did you spot on your own?
I think Ohtani would have it in the running at baseball.
So let's see if you're in a better area. Oh, and I did just check, and Martinez is actually one home run behind Chris Davis. So technically, he doesn't lead all the Triple Crown categories. He's just two out of three.
But I said Ohtani is not in the baseball reference list for rookie.
Oh, he's not?
No.
I'm surprised by that. But you know, while we're kind of talking about, you know, most valuable, Dan, now we know it doesn't mean best player. So what I'm kind of wondering is when these guys start to look at their votes and they start filling out their ballots, you know, we know they're not going to look past Mike Trout. That doesn't matter. And, you know, I think part of the reason that, you know, the eyes are no longer important is because I don't think Trout is in the top 25. Yeah, here he is. He's down here at 35 with 52 RBIs. So, you know, those are no longer important. But, you know, when it comes to important, Dan, what does a guy, you know, like, where the hell would the A's be without Chris Davis? And then to apply it even further, with all the injuries the Astros have been through, you know, they lost Springer, Correa, and Altuve for a chunk of time. Doesn't Alex Bregman deserve some MVP consideration for just kind of keeping that team on track?
Oh, yeah. You would think so, but, yeah, he doesn't play for the Angels.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, valuable means to me. I mean, you know, if you take Mike Trout out of the Angels lineup, they're still a non-playoff team. You know, if Alex Bregman doesn't perform when those other guys are out, there's a chance the Astros are a non-playoff team. So, you know, you just kind of wonder what the criteria is, or how they possibly, you know, figure these things out. I mean, are they just so kind of stuck on Trout that they can't look, you know, past anything else?
Well, I mean, they've got to keep pumping who they feel is the face of baseball, even though I don't think he represents the entire game.
So, yeah, it's just so weird. I mean, you know, he's even kind of mentioned that he's not really interested in being the face of baseball. So, you know, and that's fine. I mean, he doesn't have to be. There's, you know, there's no reason he's got to take that mantle if he doesn't want it. But, you know, I'm just, you know, again, I get baffled with what they, you know, they kind of, you know, decide what's what, or, you know, who's who, but.
You know, but that's part of the problem, is they try to shove one guy down your throat. You know, the minute he comes up for, you know, basically him and Harper, which I don't think they shove Harper down as much as they do Trout. But, you know, the problem becomes when you want to televise other teams that aren't nationally recognized, or, you know, have players that are nationally recognized. But now, you know, who's going to watch a Sunday night game again with the White Sox and the Rangers?
Yeah.
Because, you know, well, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and Bryce Harper are not on there. And granted, you know, I guess I'm not taking two of the greatest teams to begin with, but when you market an entire league that has 30 teams, we have 30, right, or 32, either way, multiply that times 25, you've got, you know, 1,000 players or roughly, and, you know, with 50 states and, you know, roughly only 30 markets, well, let's just say at least 25 markets because of the crossovers, so maybe, you know, 20 to 25 markets, you know, no one else is really going to really want to watch a nationally televised game if your team's not on, because, well, it's not Mike Trout. You know, well, if it were the Angels and the Yankees, or Yankees and the Red Sox, well, we'd watch it on Sunday night because, you know, our team already played today, or they somehow had the day off. But, you know, when other teams are playing, you're not going to get that. And that's what I think what's wrong when you try to just focus on, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees and then Mike Trout.
Yeah. Well, you know, the White Sox, you know, did get a nationally televised game the other day because they were playing the Yankees. So, you know, I mean, that's the only way they're going to get one.
Well, and how odd was that when I said that last week, we're not going to see them nationally?
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of humorous that they ended up popping up there after that. So, but, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, maybe if the Angels were good, you know, I would be a little more inclined to, you know, this whole conversation about, you know, giving Ohtani or Trout some awards, but, you know, I mean, we're talking about a fourth place team that is, they're completely out of contention.
Yeah, well, and not only that, I mean, in years previous, aside from the whole he plays in Colorado thing, Arenado was ruled out of the voting or, you know, ruled out of becoming one of the top three in the voting or even Blackman because they weren't a playoff team. But now this year,
yeah,
all of a sudden that doesn't matter anymore.
Yes, voters are changing their mind because, you know, why? Because Mike Trout is having, you know. I was like baffled when they, you know, that's like the whole thing started with the Ohtani thing was, you know, well, yeah, you know, he's got a shot. You know, where do you have him on your rookie of the year ballot? Well, I don't know. How many do I get? Maybe if I get 10, he's number 10. But I'm not. I don't have him in the top five.
Well, not only that, the one day I heard, you know, someone talking about Javi Baez, and they're like, well, you know, who can you really compare with the Flash and the this and the that? And they're like, oh, well, Mike Trout. There's absolutely no comparison. As far as styles of play, there's no.
Yeah, there's no comparison there whatsoever between those two guys.
And it's, and, you know, it's not a matter of, ooh, I'm a Cubs fan and I'm a, you know, Mike Trout hater or whatever. The style of play varies completely differently. And then you add into the fact that Javi plays mainly the middle infield, add in third,
yeah,
and Trout plays center. So the plays that Javi is making, Trout can never make, and vice versa. So you can't, you know, not even that. The way they do things is nowhere near the same.
So yeah, I guess they had to come up with some kind of comparison, right? I mean, what, you know?
Yeah.
Who else do you compare?
Well, yeah, you got to compare him with the guy that we're trying to shove down your throat. Not only that, you know, Trout comes in with the American style of ball where you're going to work and, you know, you're not allowed to show emotion. Where Javi comes in with more of the Latin style of ball where you show your emotion. You know, so you,
yeah,
you can't compare. You can't compare.
No. Yeah, you know, and then, you know, with the way things are going right now, I really think he's the National League MVP. You know, there's going to be time for, you know, things to play out, but I definitely think, you know, right now he's the front runner. So, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of shakes out, but... You know, because obviously, you know, Arenado's having another good year. You know, Paul Goldschmidt all of a sudden, remember how bad Goldschmidt was for like the first month of the season and, you know, everybody was down on him and he was, you know, he was going to stink. Well, you know, he's made it back to 292 and he has 30 home runs. You know, and his team's in contention. So,
yeah, but
know,
he plays in Arizona.
I guess what I was comparing those, I guess he wasn't bad as they thought he was, so...
Yeah, you know, that dry heat.
Yeah.
And that dome.
You know, that's the thing, you know, like Arenado has the 31 homers. He's hitting .305, so he's having another really good year. But you just got to wonder, you know, are they going to crap on him for being in Colorado? You know, Matt Carpenter, of course, is right there as well. He's actually the National League home run leader. So, you know, there is
I'm just waiting to find out, you know, what makes Javi not the MVP.
Yeah.
How they detract it.
Well, you know, I don't know if they'll do it to him because they seem to like him because of the way he plays the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously he has his, you know, his pitfalls occasionally where he gets a little carried away. He still does strike out too much, but, he struck out as much as Carpenter and, a couple more times with Carpenter and less than Goldsmith and Bryce Harper. So, it'll just be depending on, who's, I guess you wonder if the old school guys will vote for him because of the way he plays. Could that be his downfall, you think?
That could be it. I mean, I think the guys who work with him as far as, coming in the clubhouse and doing interviews, I think they would vote for him because, he's friendly. And that's where the whole system is wrong. I mean, I thought the whole idea and value behind being a sports writer and having these votes is that you're the objective piece of that organization. Maybe not so much of that organization, but you're the objective opinion. But then, Jim Rice didn't get along with everybody, so that turns it down. But where's the objectivity?
Yeah, but, remember, Jim Rice's punishment was the fact that he was a Hall of Famer and they kept him out for years.
Yeah, but that's my point, is I thought it's supposed to be objective and not subjective.
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole basis behind journalism to begin with, is the integrity? Isn't that why they fought for, with the whole Deep Throat issue, with Watergate and all that? Isn't that the whole basis of being a journalist, is the objectivity of that job?
So, yeah, you would think, but I also believe, we know better.
Yeah.
We've seen enough of it to know that that's not how it works. So, I don't know. It's just kind of, baffling when again, you just kind of wonder what they're looking at. So,
well, and that's the other issue too, Big Jack, is what is the, why hasn't there been a real definition of these awards? I mean, the simplest one is Rookie of the Year, and you have to have had so many at bats. It's pretty much the basis of it.
So I don't know how you kind of define MVP from year to year, because you can't really put a number on it. And I know that's what the sabermetric guys try to do, but it doesn't. It doesn't work that way because, again, when, you start to look at these things, the other factors, especially like the guys I mentioned, now I don't think Chris Davis or Alex Bregman should be MVP, but I believe they deserve votes for what they've done for their teams this year.
Yeah, but, to be some sort of criteria other than, I don't like them.
They want it to be war.
Yeah.
They want that to be the deciding factor in everything, even though you can kind of adjust and make the stats up however you kind of want to do it. So,
I mean, can't they just create a and then call it a day and we can go back on with the other awards that actually mean something?
Yeah, you would think, the weird part is what I'm really interested to see when this voting comes out is, they've been talking about Trout and how records no longer matter. A guy over in the National League, Eugenio Suarez, is having a really good year for Cincinnati. I want to kind of see where he ends up in all of this, because obviously they're not a winning team. They don't talk about Suarez every night, but, he's working on, he needs, I think, one more homer to get to 30. and he's right there behind Javi for the National League RBI lead, and he's hitting almost 300. So you got to kind of wonder, you know, are they going to hold true to this, or was it just their way to kind of make Mike Trout's stats seem a little more important?
Yeah, well, and before I take off for a couple minutes, isn't that been the case for several years with the Reds? They always have a guy like that.
Well, it's normally Votto. So, you know, but the, yeah, this year it's, you know, Suarez. So, we shall see. All right, let's see what we got. You know, I was disappointed, you know, on FanDuel, the home run derby contest just kind of abruptly ended. So, you know, and I didn't win anything, of course, at all the entire year, but that's no surprise. But, yeah, just kind of weird. And if you did happen to use my lineup on Sunday, I did manage to put up 180 points. So I had a pretty good night. I was enough to get my money back, so that's always a big plus. But let's see what we got tonight rolling in here. Again, and I know the leagues are, you know, getting ready to start, but it is late swap, or the games are getting ready to start, I should say. Tonight I decided to go with Sean Newcomb of the Braves. Cost me $8,300, but I like the matchup. I know the Braves have been struggling a little, but they're back at home. I definitely think they have an opportunity to break out here of it, and I like the price tag. I think he's a good value for where he is. My catcher first baseman today is Matt Carpenter. He's leading off for the Cardinals today. He cost me $4,300. Second base is Travis Shaw, the Brewers. He's hitting third for them tonight. He cost me $3,900. Third base, I went with Mikel Franco of the Phillies. He's hitting seventh for them tonight. Cost me $2,800. My shortstop is Paul DeJong of the Cardinals. He's hitting fifth for them, and he cost me $3,200. My outfield starts with Christian Yelich of the Brewers, hitting second for them tonight, cost me $4,000. Then I'm going with Billy McKinney of the Blue Jays. He's in the leadoff spot for them. He cost me $3,100. I see the Blue Jays scored, but he doesn't have any points, so I'm guessing he wasn't a factor. And then my outfield wraps up with Kiki Hernandez, hitting fifth for the Dodgers tonight, cost me $2,800. And then my utility guy is also another Blue Jay. I'm going with Lourdes Gurriel Jr., just $2,600, and he's hitting second there tonight. So, yeah, I have two Brewers and two Blue Jays. So hopefully I get some offensive production out of those games. You know, then the quick recap here, my pitcher is Sean Newcomb. The catcher first base spot is Matt Carpenter. Then I've got Travis Shaw at second, Mikel Franco at third, Paul DeJong at short. The outfield is Christian Yelich, Billy McKinney, and Kiki Hernandez. And then my utility guy is Lourdes Gurriel Jr. So hopefully I can get some production there and see how it goes. I know since Sunday I haven't had much luck. I haven't put up very good numbers. I know in one of the free rolls I was trying something new, and I think I scored like 26 points. And the weird part was I didn't finish last. There were actually 30,000 people worse than me. So, you know, again, I won't try that again. But, you know, to me, that's kind of what the free rolls are for. As nice as it would be to win the money, you know, it gives me the opportunity to kind of try a different strategy. You know, come up with, you know, some other things to possibly go with and, you know, see how it goes. But, you know, obviously, you know, that one didn't work out. So we won't be using that option again. So that's kind of how things go. Yeah. I'm just realizing I have a ton of, like, the points FanDuel gives out. I got to figure out how to spend those because I've got like 31,000 points. I'm sure I could enter something like that. one of these days I'll figure it out. I've just been kind of letting them pile up. But, yeah, you know, that's where I went tonight. You know, hopefully, you know, things work out for you. But, yeah, like I said, I was really disappointed that the home run thing just kind of disappeared. So.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't even not like, it wasn't because I was winning or anything. I was just kind of like, oh, it's gone. Where'd it go?
Well, I had received an email saying, you know, blah, 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 the last free baseball of the year. And I thought it was just a regular game. But apparently they're done with that. I mean, they could have at least ran it out till Sunday and then start off the stuff the following week.
Yeah.
Or unless next week. I don't know. Well, I guess next week you would start it, right? Because next Thursday starts football.
Yeah, Thursday night football starts, so.
Did you take that night off so you could stay up and sit on the couch next to your autographed picture of Joe?
No, I don't take the Thursday night off. I'm actually off the week after that, so.
But it's the inaugural Joe Buck and Troy Aikman show.
Yeah, you know, the fact that it's on Fox, I'm hoping they still show it on the NFL Network, but I think they have the same announcer. So it may be one of those situations where I don't even watch it. You know, with as much interest as I've had in football and the fact that it's those two bozos calling the game to get started, I don't know. I may actually just skip it. So,
well, fortunately for you, I do believe our local – radio station carries the game.
Yeah.
The CBS one.
So, yeah. I don't, you know, at least I won't have to listen to, you know, those goofs. So. But, yeah, I had actually kind of forgot that the games had moved to Fox this season. So
makes you wonder with all the political talk with the NFL if Amazon just kind of stepped away from it until all that's over with.
So yeah, you do wonder.
You remember they were, you know, set to be Thursday night. You know, actually it would have been a good kind of promotion thing, Thursday night prime. That's what I would have called it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's so hard to tell with the NFL now and what's really going on and you know all that stuff. I mean, did you see now Jerry Jones is pushing for the 18 game schedule?
Yeah, I would rather go with that and hear more talk about the NFL, talking about the NFL as opposed to the NFL trying to talk about politics. So, you know me, though, I'm a proponent of extending the season. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice that I'm handed these preseason tickets, but I don't even see the point of going anymore tomorrow.
Yeah, you know,
seriously,
I would rather see them go to 18 games and then drop two preseason games, which is what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about extended preseason or anything stupid like that, which I've heard mentioned. I mean, that would just be dumb. So, you know, because I mean, you and I both know. I mean, even when they start, you know, now it's the first few weeks or preseason anyway. You know, only the really good teams are up speed. So.
Well, and to be honest, I liked his argument for it. You know, the fact that guys are getting hurt in preseason.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is this, you know, I mean, was it the first Bears game? You know, I watched all the, or not the first one, but the Chiefs Bears, and, you know, I watched all the highlights. There's the condensed game, and you can tell in certain situations, you know, a guy is catching the ball and sees the defender and just kind of getting tackled just to end the play because it's preseason. Who cares? And, you know, guys aren't working as hard, or I don't even think they're protecting themselves as much because they're thinking, oh, it's preseason. Who cares? and then they go and get hurt. But, I mean, but, you know, like he pointed out, though, the guys are getting hurt in preseason, and, you know, what actual proof is it, is there that a guy's going to get hurt quicker because he played, you know, earlier in the season? I don't think it, I don't really think it makes a difference. And then, you know, with the way they do football, and you can have two bye weeks now, and, you know, the NFL owners will make a ton of money, you know, one more games of revenue, they'll still make a ton of money. And then, you know, the first bye week will be in week six as opposed to week four.
Yeah, they, you know, the complaint has always been that guys won't be ready. But, you know, at this point, they're not ready now.
Well, and not only that, every single year we've got rookies who hold out.
Right. Well, players, not
you know, and,
rookies, but players. The only rookies
well,
who hold out
too. Are But, I mean, even, you know, if players hold out, they don't come on time. You know, the old guys don't want to go to practice. You know, whatever. Extend the season, get it over with.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it just seems like it would make, you know, so much more sense to do this. You know, just kill two preseason games and have to, you know, start coaching camp a little early. That's where all the work gets done anyway.
Yeah, but even the way they do that is just so I don't get it. You know, they open up spring or training camp like the Bears do down in Bourbonnais, and you know, I'm sure it's a moneymaker now because people are lining up at 2 a.m. to see them work out.
Yeah.
They don't do anything. I went when they first opened up down there, and my dad and I were bored to death. The most fun we had was watching the players come out and all the little kids screaming for autographs. And then watching everyone wonder where the hell Brian Urlacher is, and then see him getting escorted out on a back of a golf cart trailer, laying down so no one saw him. You know, I mean, they don't do anything. Back in the 80s, after the Bears won the Super Bowl, my dad took us to Platteville, Wisconsin. There was literally nothing to do there except watch the Bears. I mean, they were in pads. They were beating each other up.
Yeah, well, they're not allowed
you know,
to do
now
that
you
anymore.
Just, yeah, but like I said, you know, now you got to get a bunch of guys just kind of there to hang out and have their picture taken while, you know, the local beat reporters or local news guys go down there just to say they were down there in their suits.
You know, and, you know, I mean, I know the only guys that this would actually affect are, you know, the bottom of the roster guys, the guys who are going to make the roster this week. Those are the only guys that it's going to have any effect on whatsoever. But you can still look at these guys again. You know, maybe this is a way to change practice. Well, now we've got to figure out what's going on here with this. You know, you got to, you know, and I mean, if a guy's the 54th man on the roster, there's a pretty good chance he ain't going to be there all year anyways. You know, they rotate those bottom of the roster guys in and out like crazy. But, yeah, I mean, there's been a boatload of injuries. I saw, I think Alshon Jeffries is going to be out now till week three because he got hurt in their last game. So, you know, it's just, you know, yeah, at this point you might as well be playing games that count, right? But, well, you know, maybe it's something they'll try to, you know, because it has to be collectively bargained. So maybe that's something they'll have to bring to the table the next time and we can listen to the players complain about it, you know, about how it's too hard and their game is too physical. And how long before we play flag football, Dan? When do we get to that point? Because, I mean, we're not far from it. You know, I mean, you know, and it's funny because, yeah, you know, everybody wonders what the demise of the NFL is going to be. This is it. You're, you're seeing it now with, you know, just the over concern of injuries. And I mean, I don't want to see anybody get hurt either, but I mean, we're talking about a game that's, it's physical. You know, I mean, there are sports like that. I mean, you can't tell me that, you know, I mean, well, we know guys get hurt in hockey, you know, boxing, you know, MMA, these are those, you know, physical, more physical sports on a constant basis. I mean, obviously you get hurt in baseball and basketball as well, but you know, I mean, it's normally from a little different reason. You know, getting hit with a baseball at, you know, 100 miles an hour hurts you, and God forbid if, you know, LeBron James gets fouled by one of his teammates, you know, that's painful as well. But yeah, it's nothing like the, you know, the pounding that, you know, an NFL player takes, or an NHL player, or like I said, a boxer or an MMA fighter. But you know, I mean, the difference is they have better, you know, they have a recovery time. I mean, I know those Thursday night games suck, you know, and that's the short recovery window, but then you get 10 days after that to recover for your next game. So I don't know, you know, what's going to appease these guys, or how they're going to do it. So, well, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, like I said at the beginning, at this point, Dan, I really don't care. I don't care that football's starting. I don't care if they go to, you know, an 18-game schedule. I don't care if you kneel for the national anthem. I just really, I have so much lack of interest, and I don't know why. You know, normally I look forward to football, but, man, not this year.
Yeah, no, it's, for me, it's definitely fading. You know, I wasn't the biggest NFL guy to begin with, but, you know, it just kind of keeps going down.
Yeah.
The interest, that is.
So, yeah, you know, I just, I mean, it's got nothing to do with the fact that the Bears aren't any good. You know, that's what bothers me before. But, yeah it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's football already. So.
Maybe they should just go down to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Or a 16. More like a college schedule.
Yeah, try it the other way, you know, and go, you know, go start, drop it to 14 first and see how that works out, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, hopefully by the weekend I'll be ready to draft. I don't have much time. So, you know, I got to figure something out. You know, I think Mr. Fantasy put together his own entire analytic program, and, you know, I haven't even read who's starting for who yet, so it's gonna make for a long Monday morning.
I don't know, best guy available on the board, right? Except for Antonio Brown.
Who's, you know, who's not hurt. So, yeah, best guy available on the board who's not hurt. Yeah, if you can happen to find that guy, so we'll see how that goes.
I will be interested though Friday or Saturday and Sunday to see where good old Mitchell goes.
Yeah, where he goes and how much somebody's willing to pay for him.
Mhm.
I'm
radio with that.